comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are and wherever you are, all around planet Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's a place where you matter. Tonight will be open line live, and I will open the telephones in just a few minutes. But first, you know, we live in a universe that is strange and mysterious, or at least it seems that way to us. And it seems strange and mysterious to us simply because we're only just now beginning to discover it. Did you know it wasn't until the 1920s that there was even the concept of a universe full of galaxies? We take that for granted. We think, well, science has always known this, but they haven't. It was discovered by Edwin Hubble in the 1920s. We had a universe, we just didn't know it. Our exploration of the cosmos really only got into gear about 60 years ago. And what is 60 years of minimal exploration against a universe that's over 14 billion years old? It's nothing. So while we think of ourselves as sophisticated and highly advanced and highly technological, the fact is we are barely above cavemen when it comes to knowledge of the universe. Now at this moment, from coast to coast, from north to south, east to west, in every hemisphere of this planet, there are people who are tuned in to this show. And they're tuned into this show because they have a deep and abiding interest in the mysteries of the universe. And that is why we discuss the topics we discuss, such as UFOs, extraterrestrials, consciousness, ghosts, futuristic science. It's because we're interested and because we want to know what we do not yet know. There are powerful forces on this planet that do not want you to know those mysteries, and they do not want you to discover the great truths about our universe, about extraterrestrial life, about who we are, about our place in the cosmos. They're very real forces, and they're very powerful people. There are also very important people who are in a position to know these truths and want to get the information to you, and when they bravely step forward and speak out, they are severely punished by those forces who want to keep you in the dark. These people have names on both sides of that issue. Tonight we'll be talking about people on both sides of that issue. And we'll be mentioning names on both sides of that issue. And this is why it's so important to keep the Kevin Smith Show alive. We need your help. We're going to step away for a break, and when we come back, I'm going to share with you information like nowhere else on Earth. tonight, as I said, is Open Line Live, and that means that in a few minutes I'll open up the telephone lines, and you can call me from anywhere on this planet, and we'll talk about what is on your mind relative to the topics that are within our genre. For those of you who are brand new to the show, our genre has to do with the mysteries of the universe. It's not doesn't have to do with conspiracies, although sometimes conspiracies, real conspiracies, are afoot in our genre, and we when it touches our genre, we do talk about them. But we don't talk about great recipes or how to fix your car or how to repair your roof. But we do talk about UFOs, extraterrestrials, alien abduction, ghosts, EVPs, remote viewing, etc. Okay? So we'll open the phones and we'll talk about those here in just a little bit. In the beginning of this show, at the top of the show, I said that there are dark forces afoot on this planet that don't want you to know the real shape, size, and dimensions of our universe. They don't want you to know all the mysteries of the universe. They don't want you to know even a little bit about some of those mysteries. And they work hard to keep you in the dark. Now, every time I mention something like this, I get email from one or two people who talk about that I'm I'm paranoid, and please, I am the least paranoid individual you have ever met. I once got an email from a guy that absolutely hated me because I had been international police, and this email threatened, some of you remember the show, this email threatened that he was going to come kill me. And I read that email on the show and gave my address and said, if you think you can handle some of this, I'm sitting here right now. Come on. I am not paranoid. I am not afraid. There's something about knowledge that makes you unafraid. And there's something about the pursuit of knowledge, if you really want to know, that ought to make you unafraid and not paranoid. There's an old saying, though, that says, you're not paranoid if they really are out to get you. Well, I don't think anybody is out to get me, but I do know that there are people that are out to put shows like this show, like Mel Fabregas' show, like Joe Montaldo's show, like Jerry Pippin's show, out of business. And that's not being paranoid. That's very much for real. These same people that want the information stopped, also, what they're doing, there is a move afoot to stop the information. It's been going on a long time, to stop the information coming out the pipeline to you. There's also a move afoot to stop the information from going into the pipeline in the first place. And it's the same people. You don't know who these people are. Not all of them. At the top of that, there are probably just a handful of very powerful individuals. And they're not some shadowy, nefarious people that you never hear about. These are probably people that you hear about in the news all the time. You just don't know all of their activities. But they have front people. They have people that are out there on the front that are the face and the mouthpiece of their policies. And those are the people that we know. there. I mean, it's too public not to know. We know about it. I don't think that everyone who's out there on the front being the face and the voice for these policies is doing so wittingly. I think in many cases they are doing what they're doing not knowing that they are doing the bidding of what some of you refer to as the cabal. And does the cabal exist? Well, I don't know that. I don't know I would go so far as to say the cabal exists. I think probably several of them exist. And for commercial reasons sometimes, for governmental reasons sometimes, and maybe even for military reasons sometimes, are working overtime to keep the information from even getting in the pipeline. They want to keep you in the dark and feed you loads of manure. They want you to become mushrooms and remain so. So any shows like the ones that I have mentioned, and there are others, are a threat to that plan, and we get hit. For those of you who are members of the Kevin Smith Show, you are watching on KSS TV right now. And I can tell you that our TV feed last night got hit hard. And you can see the result of that by watching last night's show. You can see the result of what was happening during the show. I knew it was happening. There was just nothing I could do to stop it. And we capture that feed, and the video result is what you see in when you click on Watch Latest Show. It has been hit several times since I've been on the air tonight. I have a little meter over here that shows me the number of frames per second we're outputting. Now, we're inputting 60 frames per second. We're getting hit hard. It's normal for that, after its process, to drop to around 40 frames per second. But we got hit hard last night. It got down to 7 frames per second. And so where is it getting hit? Well, it gets hit right here. It's an active attack on our connections right here. Now, am I paranoid? Well, no, I'm not. I mean, you can see the result if you just watch the video, you can see the result of it. I'm not paranoid. I'm just telling you the truth. And I do have the IP addresses of everyone that logs in. So is it possible to trace it? That question comes up. Well, not really, because these people use what's called a black hole server. They use several of them. And once you trace it back to there, you just never get out. And it never gets back to them, whoever they are. But let's talk about some of the people that do things either wittingly or unwittingly. Maybe they know that they are connected and doing the bidding of this group that tries to control the information. Maybe they know that, and maybe they don't. And I'm speaking about information related to anything extraterrestrial. Now, when I say extraterrestrial, unfortunately, because of the mind training that the public has been given, many people immediately either think of a reptilian or they think of a gray. Look, folks, the moon is extraterrestrial. That word just means it's not on this earth. Terrestrial. That means earth. It means it's on earth. Extraterrestrial. It's away from earth. The moon, everything in the universe is extraterrestrial, except for planet Earth. And so there are policies that are made and enacted and followed all the time that are about extraterrestrial things. I don't, as I said, I don't know that people involved know whether they are actually cooperating with the secret keepers or not. I don't know that. But I do know that some policies and some directions that come around are very much in the interest of the secret keepers. Now, what's happened, I've been campaigning all last year. I was campaigning for getting NASA a budget increase. You've heard me say it. I've been very, very critical of NASA on some points, and I remain so. The points at which they obfuscate, the points on which, if for instance, when they airbrush things out of photographs, and we can see that they did it. It's not a question. We can actually see their photographs. We can see that it's been done. So on those things, I'm highly critical of NASA. But I'm a NASA fan. I'm not a fan of people that have, in my opinion, hijacked NASA and have taken over doing those kinds of things and have made those sorts of things happen. I'm not a fan of those people. They need to be cleaned out of NASA. But overall, I'm a fan of NASA. I think NASA does absolutely marvelous work. They have done more to advance technology around the world than any one single agency or corporation or group in the history of the world. And they just have done fantastic work. Well, I've been campaigning on this show. By campaigning, I mean, you know, I've been very open about it. I've talked about it a lot. And I've said, let's double their budget. Let's give them some new marching orders that say stop all that obfuscation. Other people call it lying. Stop it. Be honest with people. Tell the truth. Get your information out there. Don't doctor your pictures. And then, here, let's double your budget, and you guys get on with the program here, and let's get this done. Well, you know, NASA gets $18 billion a year. $10 billion of that goes to manned spaceflight. The rest goes to fabulous exploration missions. For instance, the two rovers that have been up on Mars way, way, way long past their expected life and have just done marvelous work, outstanding work, unbelievable work. So we have manned spaceflight. We have unmanned space exploration. They get $18 billion. $18 billion. Now think of that. That sounds like a lot of money. That is almost nothing. It's just almost nothing. I mean, it is a shame. It's something that America should be embarrassed about. You've got almost $1 trillion you can give to bankers who are going to give bonuses to each other, but you only have $18 billion to give to NASA so that they can explore the whole universe. Now, I'll tell you, there's some very seriously errant psychology behind that kind of thinking. If we doubled NASA's budget, that would not even begin to put a dent in the amount of money that was passed out to bankers. Well, the Obama administration has been looking into the NASA budget, and they've been looking into NASA's plans, and I've reported on the panel that was put together by the president to take a look at all of this and report back to the president. Well, decisions have been made now, and President Obama has decided that what they're going to do is they're going to give NASA, over the next 5 years, they're going to give them $5.9 billion more. So, basically, It's $1.2 billion, right around $1.2 billion increase in their annual budget. So $19.2 billion to discover and explore the universe. But when it comes to AIG, when it comes to the big banks, when it comes to GM, we'll just print money and make this happen. $1 trillion almost to go to robber barons and scoundrels. People who caused the collapse got rescued, gave themselves bonuses, thumbed their noses at you, and you're paying the bill. Now, NASA, on the other hand, has been doing space exploration in your behalf, in behalf of everybody in the world. They have made marvelous advances in technology that have benefited every nation on this planet. They have also made fantastic discoveries about our universe, and particularly about our solar system, which is very important because that's the hood in which we live. And they got tossed a breadcrumb. Furthermore, that decision is a decision to shut down plans to return to the moon. Instead of sending NASA back to the moon with astronauts, President Obama is sending NASA, according to this report, in new directions. And I want to know what new directions. Well, it just turns out this might mean trips to an asteroid. Whoop-de-freaking-doo. Oh, wow. Or maybe to a Martian moon, but not to Mars. The darkness appears to be winning again. I've got more to say about this when we return. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Some people have asked, do you think President Obama will be the disclosure president? Based on what he said during the campaign, based on this decision, I would say the answer appears to be pretty definitely no. Now, U.S. Representative Suzanne Cosmos, interesting name, it's not Cosmos, but Cosmas, K-O-S-M-A-S. She's a Democrat, and she has joined quite a choir of lawmakers who are pretty much outraged by this decision. This decision kills NASA going back to the moon. This decision says going back to the moon is over. But you might go to an asteroid. And she says that this leaves NASA without a mission, without a program, nowhere to go and no way to get there. I agree. So who are the real people behind a decision like this? Now, in my opinion, this is an asinine decision. But that is not a political statement. It has to do with what is the future of NASA. I think this is an asinine decision. We're talking about peanut money. Peanut money for NASA. And megabucks, trillions, for scoundrels. I think this is asinine. Now, you might not be a defender of NASA. You may say, well, NASA stands for Never a Straight Answer. And I've chuckled at that, too, but I don't really agree with that. I think NASA does give us a lot of straight answers. I do know for sure that they cloud issues and cloud photographs. I know they do that. I've seen the photographs. You have too. And they shouldn't be doing that. And it may be, NASA, that this slapdown that you just got may be the karma for what you've been doing with your obfuscation and lying to us about certain things. It could be. But NASA does have some outstanding people. NASA has some really outstanding people. And on certain things, certain issues, they do give us straight information. One of the top scientists from the U.S. happens to work for NASA, Dr. Christopher McKay. And as you know, over in the U.K., their government decided to close down the MOD's department that investigates UFO reports. They said, we need the money for operations in, I think it was Afghanistan. So they shut down that office, which was already severely underfunded. Well, Dr. Christopher McKay from NASA is an extraterrestrial investigator. And he said it is important to keep a record of UFOs. There is a newspaper in the UK called The Sun, and they have decided to take up where the MOD will be leaving off. And they are going to be publishing in the UK all the UFO reports and information about the investigations into them done by, I guess, private citizens. And Dr. Christopher McKay applauded them for this decision and said this is very important. And, you know, we need to be investigating these UFOs and we need to keep a record of these UFO sightings. So NASA is not without open-minded people. NASA has open-minded people. But, you know, they do have some that have really, in my opinion, muddied the waters for everyone else there. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, maybe the karma involved, maybe this slapdown on their budget is the karma involved with the nasty things they've been involved with. I still think we ought to double NASA's budget. Now, there are people saying, well, we're in this time of tremendous recession and people are out of jobs. And how many people do you think are going to be out of jobs when you close down the manned space program? How many people do you think are employed around the country in building the stuff that goes into the manned space program? I mean, it's not a bottle rocket, folks. That's some high technology, even if it is old technology. It's high tech. And it takes many people to manufacture what goes into one launch. And so now we've already spent $9.1 billion developing the craft to go back to the moon, and that's canceled. So we're going to throw $9.1 billion onto the junk heap. I guess that doesn't matter. We're throwing it at bankers anyway. But we're going to do that. And then no manned space program, no mission. Well, we might go to an asteroid. Well, on the other side, on the other side of the fence, there are people who want the information in the light. By the way, you do understand that when we don't go back to the moon, that stops information going into the pipeline. Now, why would someone not want us back on the moon? Why would they not want us to go back? Well, because we have better cameras now, we have better technology now, and because there is high awareness now all around the world about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Could it be that because of all of that, they're afraid we're going to run into and see things that back here on Earth they don't want us to know about? Could that be the case? Just maybe. Could it be that there really has been the establishment of one or two bases on the moon by either the Americans, the Russians, or both? Could that be the case? We've heard rumors of that for years. And by sending this high-tech stuff back to the moon, maybe all of that gets exposed. Is because, you know, we heard that this has been up there now for years. Well, if it has, and it's a rumor, but if it has, if it's true, you don't think it's still the tiny little thing that it was when they started. It surely has grown and expanded over the years. Much more visible. Could that be why? Well, I don't know. But because the secret keepers don't put all the information on the table, they have to live with the speculations, because when all the information is not on the table, all speculation is valid. On the other side of the fence, though, there are people who have tried and continue to try to get information to the public. I have in front of me here an email that I got and have not responded to. I replied to the email, but I haven't responded to it on the air. And this email comes from one of our regular listeners and wants to know, at the end, this came in at the end of 2009. I think it was maybe January 1st or January 2nd. And it said, of all the stories that you've covered in 2009, what do you think is the most significant? Well, I think the most significant is the story of Dr. Lakhazar Filipov, the number two guy in the Bulgarian version of NASA. Bulgaria is not a nation that most people think of when they think of spaceflight, and yet Bulgaria is responsible for the development of and construction of some of the really very high-tech stuff that flies into space. They develop things that NASA flies in space. They develop things that India flies in space. I don't know if they have developed anything that China has used, but probably. And they develop things that are used by the Russians. It is a significant space agency. He's the number two guy, Dr. Lakhazar Filipov. And if you read his credentials are just amazing. His credentials, you just start reading all of the things, the degrees that he's got, the diplomas, the certificates, and you keep reading all the organizations he's part of, and all of the programs that he's been involved in, the space programs. It took 12 pages to print it out. This is a serious space physicist, very serious. And he stepped forward in November of last year, 2009. And he told the press in Bulgaria, he said, you know what? Extraterrestrials are real. And they're here among us. You don't even notice them. They're here among us. But you don't notice them. And he said, we're in constant communications with them. Now, in the first news report that came out, there was a line in that report that said that these extraterrestrials were present at a media presentation, at which they answered over 30 questions put to them by Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. That was in the first news report. That never made it to any subsequent news reports. All the subsequent news reports tried to paint what Dr. Filipov was up to as nothing more than just trying to interpret crop circles. And I have said time and time again, when you find a black hole in the reporting, that's where the truth is. We're going to come out of that black hole on the other side of this break. Welcome back, and I said we'll come out of that black hole on the other side of this break, and so we shall. Here we go. Dr. Lakhazar Filipov was almost immediately, well, you know, we contacted him and invited him by telephone, invited him to be on the show. He was very excited about it. He said, I'll do it. It's my responsibility as a scientist. The world needs to know this. Within 24 hours, all of that evaporated. All of the smear campaign started, and all the stuff about it was he was dealing with just mediums and crop circles and trying to interpret the symbols and all of that. That is not what he told the press in Bulgaria, and that is not what he told us. But I've reported to you in detail about the very rough treatment that he got. And, the thing about it, though, is if something's true, eventually we sort of know it. Eventually, the truth does come out. Eventually. Well, it didn't have to wait very long. For those of you who are watching on our TV channel, I'm going to show you a broadcast from Bulgarian TV News. And I'll describe it for those of you who are with us on radio or by computer. Now, what we're looking at is TV news in Bulgaria, and you have the news reporter, a lady, talking about the fact that this UFO was seen up over Bulgaria, over the capital city. This happened on January the 9th or 10th. And then it was up there for a long time. It was seen by hundreds of people, and we don't get a real good view of it in this video. You get a little bit of a view of it, but if you blow that up, it is a diamond-shaped craft that's just up over the city. Well, Sofia, Bulgaria, happens to be where the Bulgarian Academy of Science is located. It happens to be where the Bulgarian Space Research Institute is located. And that happens to be where Dr. Lakhazar Filipov is the number two guy. So after all of the smear campaign, what happens? A big diamond-shaped UFO over the capital city, over the heads of all of those people who have been making life hell on Dr. Lakhazar Filipov, and the whole city got to see it. I hope our listeners in Bulgaria take note of this. I hope you take note of the fact that it's not the media that's telling you the truth. It's Dr. Filipov. And it's not the people that ridicule and try to debunk him that are telling you the truth. How do they explain that? Dr. Filipov told the truth. I think that was the most significant story that we handled in 2009. And it happens to be a story about someone who's on the side of light, trying to get the information to you, and paying the price to do so. These are very real. When we talk about this kind of thing, we're not talking about something that's in a James Bond movie. We're not talking about something that's in a sci-fi movie. We're not talking about something that's just a television show. We're talking about real, living, breathing human beings. And we're talking about real hardship that is put on them for trying to bring you the truth. This is going on. It's going on worldwide. It's not just here in the United States. It's going on worldwide. And that's why I don't think that you have all these nations acting independently to ridicule, to destroy the reputations of people who bring the truth to you. These are not nations acting independently. These are nations acting on the orders of and having their strings pulled by the same group of very secret, nasty individuals for whom hell could not possibly be hot enough. We don't know the names of all of those people yet, but the day will come, and the day will come when they'll get to test. They'll get to dip their toes into the waters in the lake of fire, to coin a phrase that appears in the Bible. All right, we're going open line. I felt that you needed to see, you needed to know these stories, and you needed to see the relationship between them. There is a relationship. The relationship is the continued struggle between light and dark. It's very real. It's happening minute by minute on this planet. And whether you like it or not, it's going on. Whether you believe that or not, it's going on. It makes no difference whether you believe it or not. It's going on. And very real people who try to bring you the truth pay very real, harsh prices for doing so. We're in their debt. Dr. Filipov should be applauded for going public as he did. Dr. Christopher McKay should be applauded for stepping forward out of NASA and giving encouragement to a newspaper in the UK that is going to be reporting on UFOs and keeping people informed, because the MOD is closing, or has closed, their office that investigates them. Dr. McKay should be applauded for that. Our telephone number is 623-444-5889. That will work from anywhere on planet Earth. And if you need to call me on the toll-free line, it works in the USA and Canada. It is 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada and you don't want to make the long-distance call, then what you can do is you can go to my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com, and you can scroll down and you'll see a link, and that link says Flash Message. Just click on that, and that will enable you to send me a message. It's called a Flash Message, because when you send it, I get a little notice flashing on my screen over here that tells me you've sent a message. Now, if you're in Canada or the USA and you send a flash message, our filters try to catch those. And it doesn't matter if you put that you live in Uzbekistan, but your IP address is in the USA, it catches that. So, you know, if you're, and it dumps them into the junk file, and I don't even see it till after the show. So if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use a flash message. If you're in the USA or you're in Canada, use the telephones. I'll even pay for the call. There's no reason for you not to use a telephone. It is a talk show. These are important issues, folks. These are important issues. They are important to the quality of your life and the level of your freedom. These are important issues. Yes, they do touch on the genre that we're talking about. They do touch on the genre of UFOs, extraterrestrial, strange and unexplained phenomena. But in addition to that, they have an economic impact. There will be a tremendous economic impact by shutting down our return to the moon. It has a scientific impact. We hear people say, politicians get up and say, we want to have the best and the brightest. We want to be the best scientists, you know, on the planet. We want to lead those fields. How do you do that when you shut down the leading piece of science that gets done in this country? How do you expect that you're going to inspire kids to become scientists when they're not going to have the opportunity in this country to work on the super high advanced technologies of manned spaceflight? How do you do that? We'll be back.
Phoenix, Arizona. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
One of the things that this presidential commission has recommended is that manned spaceflight be taken over by the private sector. Well, look, the private sector can do it and will, but they will do it for profit. They're going to be looking at building space stations to be used as space hotels for tourists and charging the super wealthy for a flight up to space. They are not in the business of space exploration for the purposes of science. The only way they can possibly be in space is to be there for profit. It is NASA's job to be doing this space exploration. It is their job. That's what they're designed to do. And I think it's a travesty. I really do. What do you think about it? Or do you think about it? Do you even care about it? The next time we take a break and you run into the kitchen and you pop a cup of water into the microwave to heat it for some coffee so you can get back to the show in time, because it only takes, you know, like 2 minutes, and then you've got hot water. You dump you some tea or coffee in there and you've got a nice drink, or some hot chocolate. And you know, the next time you do that, understand NASA made that possible. We have people actually living today, I guess you call it living, in such total, complete unawareness. They just think microwaves have always been here. No, they haven't. And NASA is why they're here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. Boy, this stuff just gets me all... It gets my blood boiling, this stuff. The fact that something the size of this magnitude is being kept from the American people, the taxpayers, just the thought of that. People should be angry about it, and it should anger people that are not being told something as big as this. And it's, you know...
I agree with you, but, you know... This doesn't even make the front page.
Right.
John Edwards bust up with his wife because he had an illegitimate child. That makes the front page. That's all over CNN. That's all over Fox. Pardon me. NASA being taken out of manned space exploration... That doesn't even make the news, and it doesn't make the front page. It's huge. It's gigantic.
We need to keep your show on the air. If there's any, we can't lose your show because it's the only bastion of. There's nobody else that's willing to report on this. But now, when it comes to the Filipov story, now mm-hmm. when he in his first original comments. What does he mean by that there were extra, that there was a media statement? I'm kind of confused by that. Does that mean that...
Well, that's what the reporter wrote. He didn't say that. The reporter said in that, and it was in Bulgarian news, and then it was carried by AP. Okay, it was put on the wire by AP. All right, so... the reporter said there was a media presentation or statement. I can't remember exactly the words there,
so
but it does.
It
definitely
to the media too. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It definitely says in that that there was a media statement or presentation at which several of the alien species, and that's a quote, several alien species were present. And answered more than 30 questions put to them by the Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. Now, that's in that report. And, and that's the first one that I read. And when I first read it, I read it in Bulgarian. And that afternoon, AP carried the translation. So I read the English translation of it to make sure that I had properly translated out of Bulgarian, and and that night I reported on it.
Okay, but when they say there was a communication in a media statement, was that a video meeting, a conference, video conference?
It doesn't say.
The media or?
Yeah, it doesn't say. Listen to the words. That there was a media presentation at which several alien species were present and answered over 30 questions put to them by the Bulgarian Academy of Science personnel. Now, that statement was in the first article.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that night after the show, I reported on it on the show. That night after the show, Jerry Wills and I talked about it, and we decided that Jerry would give him a call and see. So Jerry stayed up till midnight, because at midnight here it would be 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning in Sofia, Bulgaria.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed up and he made the phone call and he talked with Dr. Filipov. And at that point we were only a few hours after that statement had come out, that report had come out in the press. Okay, so it came out in the press in the afternoon in Bulgaria. Filipov goes home, goes to sleep, gets up in the morning, comes to his office, the telephone rings, and it's Jerry Wills from The Kevin Smith Show. So he, at that point, had not been exposed to any kind of repercussions. And his statement to us was that, yes, it is real. And if you come here, he said, people here are shaking their heads at me, but that's because they don't know what we know. You come here, and I'll show you what we know. Okay? And he said, I will be on the show. It is my duty as a scientist to tell the world. Within 24 hours after that, all communication with him was gone. We could not communicate with him.
Well, you know what I think the problem with our media is, you know what's really troubling to me is, you know, over in Russia when that video appeared of that pyramid-shaped object that was above the city there and other UFOs, that was all over the news over there. And in the UK, they're reporting on this type of thing all the time over there. Gary McKinnon, he's in the news all the time over there. It's just the American media it's a sad state of affairs that when these other countries start having more freedoms than we do, it really ought to anger people, you know. I tried to call that one time on C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a reporter by the name of Billy Cox that reports for the Herald Tribune in Florida. And he's really good. You ought to have him on as a guest sometime. He's a really good reporter. He reports on this topic, and he's been in communication with some of the press corps there in D.C. because he's been asking them, you know, what's the deal? You've got millions of people sending you letters asking you to. Well, I don't know if it's millions, but there's got to be at least thousands of people sending you letters to ask us questions. And apparently they're blocking a lot of the letters that are coming. Apparently they're not even getting to the some of the press corps. And so this guy Billy Cox, he's been calling them like all the time, asking him what's going on, you know. So when I did that, he got a hold of me and he was kind of congratulating and everything, you know. It was just, I just get tired of the secrecy. It's just unbelievable that something this magnitude is being held from us. You know, you talk about change. It's something that could. We need some sort of a big change right now in this, the way things are going. You know.
Well, I think big changes are coming, but maybe not the ones we would like. And you know, it's every dog has his day. And the dark side is going to have a period of time to sort of hold court and be in charge. But that's not going to last long.
I hope not. And we know there are UFOs. The UFOs exist. Whoever the pilots are, if they're extraterrestrial, if they're ours, or if they're whoever they are, I assume to believe that. At least some of them are extraterrestrial, according to all the evidence. If they're listening right now, please, please, just do a mass flyover. Fly over a populated area. Make it known to everybody so that, you know, the people can handle the truth. We don't need the government. We don't need them to... I think the government is just completely useless right now. I mean, it's so out of touch with that the only way we're ever going to get this thing over with is for another Phoenix Lights, another Phoenix UFO, the Big Triangle, or another Stevensville.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to have to happen. Wherever it lands, it has to land. It's got to be somewhere. It's got to land. And just stay on the ground long enough for people to walk up and touch it.
Yeah, and the skeptics will, you know, the skepticism is good. I mean, healthy skepticism, but I'm talking about the fundamental debunkers. They will. I don't know where they're going to run to. I'm sure Bill Nye will have to buy a new pair of underwear after this.
May have to go buy a new degree. Okay, look, I got to run, but thanks for the call.
Good work, man.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, this is important, folks. It's very, very important. Now, it's important to us in this genre because we're interested in UFOs. We're interested in extraterrestrial intelligent life. We're interested in these things. But it's in this whole thing with NASA is important to your quality of life, whether you've ever even thought about UFO. If you can't even spell UFO, NASA's work is important to your quality of life. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hi, Rick.
I want to thank you for last night's show. I learned something I didn't know. I was really interested to hear about the law that was passed in 69 prohibiting us from extraterrestrial contamination from a being or their vehicle. I never heard of that and thought it was very interesting that it was abolished in 92. It's very telling of our government.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have John Ventry back on next week, and he'll be dealing with the course that was taught to the Air Force cadets regarding UFOs.
I think I discussed it with you once before, but I've been a paramedic, and I have the FEMA guidelines book and have the chapter that's in it that deals with UFOs. And it's in a FEMA document, the firefighter's handbook from FEMA. So, you know, I always wondered about that. Why bother to write that? But as far as Dr. Filipov, I really think, I agree with your last caller, I think that the secrecy is about over. We talked about this a year ago. I think maybe they're going to show themselves. They're tired of being kept from us. I think the government wants to be a secret. The extraterrestrials want us to know they're here. And I think they're going to make themselves known.
Well, I certainly hope so. I would say this. I don't know whether the extraterrestrials are going to make themselves known or not. But as far as this government making disclosure, after this decision to kill going back to the moon, to kill going to Mars, after this decision, there's not a chance, not a snowball's chance in hell that this is the disclosure president.
That's exactly right. And this country was founded by explorers. And the only way we'll find out anything in space is for exploration.
That's true. Exploration of anything, even here on Earth, is expensive and dangerous. And the people that get into it know that. And will there be loss of life by returning to the moon? You can bet on it.
Yep.
Will there be loss of life by going to Mars? You can bet on it. But that's what exploration is. It's dangerous, and it's expensive. But what about this now, Rick? We have almost $900 billion to throw at bankers so they can give themselves bonuses. But we can't come up with a double for NASA's budget, which is $36 billion.
It's very sad, and it's makes me very angry.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the world will look like and what America will look like without a viable NASA, because that's what we're going to get. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, it's not just your microwave that NASA developed. A lot of the high-tech medical devices that save lives are developed by NASA, or they're developed for NASA, so they can use high-tech life-saving devices in space. Well, guess what? If you don't need them in space because you're not out there, who do you think's going to be developing them? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. We kind of had this conversation before. Because in the fact that you believe that NASA, is the world's leading innovation, as far as technology and stuff. And I don't believe our country, or our military, or secret government, whatever way you want to put it, would let NASA go away. While they let China, Russia, India, take its place. I believe, you got to read in between the lines. I think it's a farce. You can tell who's running the show, because of what they ain't allowed to say and what they are allowed to say. I think they're just there, as a ploy. And just like any other ploy is, about UFOs and stuff, and how they use that against people. I believe it. It's to a point that we don't need it. It was just like that one colored Congress lady asked Cheney. What happened to those? I don't know how many. What was it? Trillions of dollars that the military came up missing. I'm positive that we have another space agency which is far advanced than what NASA is.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think that it's pretty evident that we do. However, when's the last time they showed you any pictures? When is the last time they held a press conference to tell what they discovered on the planet? True enough, we don't get all the information that NASA puts out. Not all of it is straight. That's true. But we get nothing out of that other space agency. And, that's something to think about. At least with NASA, yeah, they may doctor the pictures, but at least we have the pictures and we can see they've been doctored. They may not comment about it, but we can see they doctored them in the shape of buildings and in the shape of towers, etc. So even though I can't see the details of that tower, I can see the shape of that tower. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
when's the last time the military held a press conference and turn loose 1,000 pictures for you to look at?
Yeah. Well, the only thing we could hope for is that, in light of them trying to cancel this, it would bring up enough uproar that the military would have to come forth and say, hey, okay, we have another program. And NASA's not necessary anymore.
They're never going to do it.
And Congress would get them to, be more forthcoming in what, technology they have,
never going to happen. Who's going to step to the plate and say, we have another space agency that's far more advanced than NASA, we built it with those trillions of dollars we stole from you? They're never going to do it.
Yeah, I was just hoping, that maybe they would have to, fess up, to justify, getting rid of NASA.
The military does not have to fess up to anything these days.
Yeah.
And it's never going to happen. If we lose NASA as the premier space exploration agency on this planet, if you think that we're kept in the dark now, just wait till then. There will be no information coming.
No, I think that's pretty much what they want.
Well, it is, but that's why this cannot be allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's kind of a waste. It's kind of like putting the buggy before the horse. I mean, we got space stations out there and stuff like that, but yet, we can't go anywhere, We really don't have a fleet, I mean, yeah, we got to get used to, living in space, But, you know, for all the money, you know, we spent, I mean, you know, did, you know, you mentioned microwaves, you know, cell phones and stuff like that, but those things are actually dangerous. I mean, yeah, they create a lot of stuff that's not dangerous and helpful, but, you know.
Well, you know, a cell phone is only dangerous to people that use them constantly. And there are people, you know, hey, my daughter, she and her family, they don't even have a phone in the house. They have radios called cell phones. Okay? If you use them constantly, they're dangerous. Occasional use, they're not dangerous. But, no, I'll tell you, if you think we're kept in the dark now, just wait till NASA's no longer viable.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't know if we'd, we can even stop. We can even stop this, what they're doing. I mean, you know, there's so much undercover now, and you know, it just seems.
Well,
like
Congress can.
Yeah. Well,
Congress is the ball game. Hey, we're into a break. I got to run. Congress is the ball game, folks. They hold the purse. That runs the country. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889 is the main number, or if you need to call me on the toll-free line, it is 888-223-4599. We've got a number of flash messages that have come in from around the world, and we'll get to those in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, you know, I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently from a very good source of mine, her nickname is, I like to call her Raven. I've got some information that the space station is going to end up being unmanned from May 30th, 2010 until after 2013. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. This extra funding that was given to NASA is primarily for the purpose of keeping the space station operational until 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying it's going to be unmanned from when to when?
From May 30th of this year until after 2013, they're going to have robots apparently conducting repairs. Now, I can't confirm this with any hard evidence, but apparently that's what I've been reading with rumors coming out of NASA, you know, and, you know, it doesn't surprise me. Considering the ominous date that's ahead of us, and now that you were talking about earlier about the flat out killing of both the moon and the Mars programs,
mm-hmm.
tells me they want to keep our astronauts in space for this time being.
Well, this will be interesting to see. I'll see if I can check into this. That's the first time I've heard about the space station. Becoming unmanned for an extended period of time. And in fact, I haven't heard about it being unmanned for even a short period of time. So this is new to me.
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to check to see if there are any scheduled launch dates between those, between that time frame. You know, because that'll be quite interesting. You know, I'm getting more and more and more convinced that there is something that's going to go down in 2012. What it is, I'm halfway between David Wilcox's explanation that there's going to be a rise in consciousness and, you know, the fact that there is going to be some sort of cataclysmic event that's going to be happening, and perhaps even a mixture of both. But something big is definitely going to happen in 2012. I've been reading a lot of this. I just finished David Wilcox's Fingerprints of the Gods, and if that doesn't wake people up to what's going to happen in 2012, I don't know what will. It's going to be an interesting time, and also now with some of these things happening, and also the preparations that the global elite have been making over the last 40 years, that the underground cities and the tunnels and the seed banks everywhere, these people have been getting ready just for themselves, their elite selves, to survive, and expecting only about 500 million of us land dwellers, you know, to survive, just like they've been planning all along, this whole depopulation agenda. What better way to do it than let Mother Nature do it, huh?
I hope you're dead wrong.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
All right. Have a good night, Kev.
All right. I'm fully aware of all of those theories about what's coming in 2012, and sometimes people get frustrated with me because I say I don't think December the 21st, 2012, is going to be any special day. I think that all the but I've also said I think there are a lot of cataclysms coming our way, and you know, we're seeing that happen. Over the past 10 years, we've been seeing that happen, and it's been increasing. And, I mean, what would you call what has happened to Haiti? That's a tremendous cataclysm. And I think these sorts of things will continue to happen. But if anything at all happens on December the 21st, 2012, I think there's a very good possibility that's the day that everything begins to settle back down. Why? Because that's the day that marks the end of an age for the Mayans. It marks the end of an age, not the end of the world. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, Kevin.
Hi, Brent.
Kevin, I'm not going to get religious on you, I'm not going to get political on you, but I'm going to say this. Hopefully the global elite is listening.
They are.
There are certain crimes against humanity that are unforgivable. Lying to them and suppressing evidence is one of them. I hope you're prepared for what's going to happen.
Well, I think they believe they are prepared for what they believe is going to happen. But best laid plans, you know, seldom go like you have them planned. And look, you can oppress people for only so long, and then the people rise up and bite you in the arse. And that happened, you know, that has happened in country after country down through history. What in the world would you say the French Revolution was? The people had had enough, and they rose up.
Marie Antoinette's cake.
And they rose up and took down the royalty. What about Ceausescu in Romania? What about Milosevic in Serbia? You look, their own people took them down. Now you transpose all that onto a global canvas, and you oppress the people worldwide long enough, and when they've had enough, they will get rid of the royalty.
Do you remember that comment I made when you had the lady representative about the Phoenix Lights?
Mm-hmm.
I will be completely surprised if we're not in a war within 2 or 3 years against the elite.
Well, I'm going to say to you the same thing I said to Kevin. I hope you're wrong. You know, just because I see trends and I hear people talking and, you know, and I see, I've got my fingers on the pulse and I see where things appear to be headed. That doesn't mean that I am in favor of it or that I think we should.
You're just reporting the facts.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope it doesn't happen. What I would prefer would be for all the politicians in Washington, D.C., get out of town, go breathe fresh air somewhere, get over this insanity, and then once you've got your sanity back and you're back in touch with what the people who hired you want, then go back to Washington and let's put some of this stuff straight. I don't expect they're going to do that. But I would prefer to see that happen, because if it happened, the world would be a much better place within 24 hours.
Yep.
But I don't expect sanity is going to infest Washington, D.C.
That's, what was it? Lack of intelligence in the universe. The lowest level of intelligence is in Washington, D.C., in my opinion.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Goodbye.
I think, look, there are some very smart people in Washington, but there's insanity there. Wholesale insanity. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Stefan from Quebec City.
Hi, Stefan.
Kevin, with your studies in theology and religions, I was wondering if you could provide a more in-depth explanation of the meaning of the meek shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Does it actually mean humble or poor? Or what does that mean, meek?
The word meek is an English translation, of course, but it means I have the power, I have the ability to stomp you into next week, and I make a decision not to do it. I hold back, and by decision, I don't stomp you into next week. That's the meek. That's not the powerless. That's the people who are very powerful, but who have determined by decision that they're not going to hurt somebody.
So does that mean the world population, or does that mean the people in charge, do you think?
I think the way that sentence is constructed grammatically, it's an individual thing. It's not a specified group. It's just individuals who have the ability to absolutely disrupt and destroy, but they've decided that's not in the best interest of themselves or their fellow man. And so they don't do it. And so it's individuals. It's on an individual basis. How many times, this is not a real good example, but how many times have you either seen or heard of someone really getting up in a cop's face? And you know, boy, they're using all kinds of profanity and saying, you know, what they're going to do to this cop and all that. And the cop doesn't respond. Inside, he may want to stomp this person, and he certainly has the training and the ability, but he makes a decision not to do that. Well, the cop that makes the decision not to do that wins, because, you know, he can get on his radio, call for additional help, and two or three people hold this person while you put handcuffs on him. On the other hand, a cop that yields to his instinct and decides to stomp this person, he can do it, but he'll be on someone's video camera, and he'll lose his job. He'll probably go to prison, and he loses. So here you have two cops with equal abilities, and one wins and one loses. Why? Because one is meek.
That's very interesting. So I guess either way it turns out, it's good.
Well, the meek inherit the earth, and they're the people for whom it was intended by the cosmos, in my opinion.
Hmm.
People that are meek have the ability to do all kinds of things, for instance, in business, and decide that's not in the best interest of the people that work for me. Now, those are few and far between these days.
Yeah. Well, let's see where it takes us from here on. Thanks for the great show, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. 623-444-5889 is the main number, and the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. The people who are going to end up running this planet are not the ones that are running it now. Those who are in power today, those who are running it now, know for sure the paradigm is dying. The old paradigm is in its death throes. And that's what we're watching. That's what all this is about. We're watching the old paradigm going through its death spasms, trying to cling to it, to life, trying to cling to its power, and it can't. It continues to die. And it's going through its death spasms. So that's what all this weird insanity is about. And it's happening not just in Washington, D.C. It's happening in every capital on the planet. We'll be back right after this. We are back. It is the Kevin Smith Show, and I've got some flash messages I want to get to. One from Copenhagen. It says, it's kind of long. Let me summarize it for you. The list of countries that I said, you know, it's you can click and see the list, how the countries all rank in terms of who's listening to the show. And I said it was South Korea, and then it changed to Poland. And what's up with that list? Well, it's not static. It changes from day to day, you know. As it like after the show tonight, it'll change again. Who's number one? Who's number two? United States, I have the largest audience in the United States. I mean, that's where my largest audience is. And my number one city in the United States is New York City. But South Korea was number two, and now it's Poland. The Russian Federation is hanging in there at number three, I believe, if I remember correctly. They've retained that. You take a look at it. Normally I put the top 25, but right now the top 75 are up there, so just so you can see. And we just don't have room to put them all. You take that list and double the length of it. We just don't have room to publish it all. But that's the top 75. And it changes. It's fluid. It changes from day to day. Bob in Australia writes, hi, Kevin, could you tell us one of your ghost stories from when you were overseas or anything paranormal related to when you worked as an international police officer? Many thanks, Bob from Australia. Bob, I will, but not tonight. I'll do it tomorrow night is going to be ghost night. And interesting that you sent this when you did, because that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. So be sure you tune in. I'll tell you a couple of things that happened while I was overseas. From the Netherlands, Anthony writes, good evening. You know, I was wondering, why would this Bulgarian doctor come out with a story like that in public and even make an effort to speak on AM radio in the first place? Didn't he know his superiors would act on such matters? Didn't he know how his superiors would act on such matters? Very peculiar, isn't it? Aren't you wondering? I like the show. Greetings, Anthony. There have been winds of change blowing in Bulgaria, and those winds of change are winds of democracy and freedom, and one of the things they now have, ostensibly, is freedom of speech. Perhaps Dr. Filipov made the mistake of believing the political propaganda about freedom. Here in the United States, people say, well, at least here in the U.S., I have freedom of speech. Think so? Say something the government doesn't like. You'll find out. You don't have freedom of speech. You have freedom to say anything the government thinks is okay for you to say. And that's true in every country where there's freedom. Now, I grant you that here in the United States, the boundaries are very, very wide that the government will let you talk about. I mean, I'm saying this right now, and they haven't killed me. So the boundaries are very, very wide. But if you get up and say something the government really doesn't want you to be talking about, you'll find out. Freedom of speech, and it has been so ruled by the Supreme Court, is not absolute. So I think maybe Dr. Filipov bought into the political propaganda in his country that said, hey, you know, you have freedom of speech. And then said something they really didn't want him to say. From Blue in Australia. Hi, Mr. Kevin Smith, the spiritual, I'm sorry. I can't, my eyes read it and my mouth won't say it correctly. The spherical objects around the sun were the major point so far this year. And keep safe, Kevin, the free world has been sold. Yeah, I agree with that. Pretty much. There are still little things where we have little freedoms that we can exercise. And folks, if you don't, you know, you use it or lose it. That's the way it goes. The spherical objects around the sun. Yeah, that is a big story. A huge story. I still say, you know, in the photograph, and I showed you those here on the show, in the photograph, these look like they're very close to the sun. And if they are as close as they appear to be, then they are planet-sized. The problem is, with a photograph, you don't have that depth of field. In other words, if you look at it with your eyes, as opposed to a photograph, you look at something with your eyes, you can see the depth, you can see how far it is between you and an object. In a photograph, that collapses. You don't have depth of field. So you don't have much depth of field. And so, we cannot tell from looking at the photographs how far those objects are from the sun. Therefore, we can't really tell how big they are. Further, we can't tell how far are they from the camera that shot the photo. So it's very difficult to tell how big they are. It's very difficult to tell how close are they to the sun as well. That's also very difficult. But what we can say is whatever they are, they're not supposed to be up there around the sun. As far as we know, that's not man-made. Now, the caveat there, of course, is as far as we know, it's not man-made. So, you know, I think it's a big story. Whatever they are objects that, as far as we know, should not be there. It could be a bigger story if these objects are as close to the sun as they appear to be in the photograph, then they're planet-sized. And that's a huge story. That's just a huge story. So I don't know if, you know, we'll keep our eyes and ears open here, and I will try to find out more information on it. I don't know if there will be any more information. But we'll certainly scour the news looking for additional information. Now, folks, that's a NASA satellite that took that picture. And I know some of you, and I respect your opinion, those of you who have this opinion, some of you think NASA should just go out of business. I respect your opinion, but I disagree with it. That photograph where we see those objects around the sun, that's a NASA photograph. Do you think if that was taken by the military space program that you would have seen that photograph? Do you think they would have released it to you? No, they would classify it. They classify everything, you know. They get through chewing a piece of gum and they throw it into the trash. They classify that. They classify everything. No, they're not going. They're not in the disclosure business. They're not in the information business. They're not going to disclose to you those kinds of photographs. So NASA is vitally important. Even if there are things about it that are upsetting to us, if there are things about it where, you know, they frustrate us and we catch them lying to us, or we think they're lying anyway, and it's frustrating, even so, without them, we don't get any light at all as to what's going on out there. That photograph of those objects around the sun, that's NASA. Well, that's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.